But glad to have you.
So here we are, 4th of July, Glenwood Church. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I spoke on this subject, salvation. If you missed it, let me give you a brief synopsis. You're saved by grace through faith. That of not of yourselves, it's a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That roughly translates like this. You can't make yourself good enough. You can't be perfect enough. But he said this, my son was, and he was willing to lay his life down for you and me and everybody out there in the world. Lots of righteousness going on, and he's willing to wash away our sins. And he said, if you will believe that and trust me, I will take care of you, but you've got to be able to trust me. We could get into more details, but that is the way it's supposed to go. Trust in Jesus, ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then the second thing I talked about was discipleship. Once you become a Christian, he says, be a disciple. And a disciple just means, I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to do what he says. And I'm going to let him conform my life to the way he was. And I give up my self plans, my selfish plans, and ask him, what would you have me to do? Because you died for me, I'm willing to walk in your ways and do what you want. Just lead me, O Lord. That was last week. Here we are this week. And this week is church. There's things about the church that most people do not really understand. And one of the things, you know, people will come to me and say, everything I've read about and heard about on television and in books, they talk about if you follow after Christ, things will start working your way because God favors you. It means he likes you and he's going to do things to benefit you. Even all things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And that's where the discipleship comes in. He says, I want you to be a disciple, so you follow me. And he says, when you start following me and you're genuine about it, things will start breaking your way. Even bad things will eventually become something positive. But here's something most people miss, and this is it. Attend church. If you want to learn how to be an overcomer, how to be victorious, how to be triumphant, how to have a successful life, all those are words, catchphrases that they throw around. But if you want to have that kind of life, then you really do need to come to a church. The word gospel means good news. So there's all sorts of good news, and salvation is probably the greatest. But even in Hebrews it says, let's not lay again the foundation. Let's get beyond baptism and works and laying on of hands and all this kind of stuff. Let's get past those basics and start learning and growing so we can have that successful life we hear about. And to do this, we need to learn to walk in His way. We Christians, like the song says, one of these days that they sang, it was the idea of they're looking forward to the time when our faith is no longer faith, but it actually becomes sight. It's something we can see and something we can experience. We are to, by faith, say, He promised us a changed life. He promised to work with me. He promised to reshape me and my life. He promised to favor me. And I don't see any of that, but I trust Him to do it. That's faith. And as we grow in faith, and as we experience the grace, our faith becomes sight. What we believe and we confess that He says in the Bible becomes a reality in this world in which we walk, and we change because we are walking by faith. That's a big, big deal. Abraham was not a perfect man, but he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him. God's just saying in the Scriptures, Abraham, just because you believe me and you trust me and you believe in what I have told you up to this point, you're all right with me, guy. I'm going to lead you, guide you, and direct you. And he gave him great, great promises and great leading. But one of the problems that we have, especially living in this world, is everybody kind of wants to cheat fate. I even know Christians that would really like to cheat fate, and they'd like to cheat faith walk. It's not going to work. If you want to grow spiritually and you want to have that life that he talks about, it's not always easy because he's changing us and we don't like change. I'm one of those people. I don't like change. I want things to be a certain regimented way within certain boundaries, and that's the way it should be. And when it's not, I start getting real. I ordered a rare steak, not a well done steak. Let it go, Doyle. But I ordered, let it go, Doyle. And we need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. It's okay. We can trust him to make this all work out. But when we start trying to cheat faith, and the way people do that is they start looking for sources about information of what may happen in their future outside of biblical revelation. They start looking to other places to gain a glimpse of what they consider their future. Then you're not doing what's biblical. We are to walk in a way that we say, God, I trust you with my future. I trust you that you care for me. I trust you that everything will unfold and will become right in the right time, at the right time. We can't cheat fate by looking... just pick a subject. I don't know. My family was pretty out there, if you want to say that. I had family members that... you guys want to hear something creepy? I know a lady who could walk over to a rocking chair, put her hand over it and say, rock, and that chair would start moving. Yeah. But they used tarot cards, they used all sorts of things. Different people in the family would try this to gain a glimpse of the future. But as they became Christians, they started putting away those things because they learned you walk by faith. You don't have to know what's going on in your future. You know the God who controls that future, and you trust him and you bravely walk on, and he will give you everything you need to know when you need to know it. There's a lot of stuff in the scriptures that's already revealed to us. And so we need to learn to walk by faith and not try to cheat faith. We trust in Christ, and when we're doing that. Now, what I did read to you, here's another clue about why we should attend church, and this is important. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, which I read, Jesus said something really interesting here. I also say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock that he's referring to is Jesus, is when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he said. And he said, that's the rock. That's the foundation stone of my church. I will build my church. And guess what it says next? And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. You want to be someplace that's triumphant? You come to a church. You come and assemble in a church. Because when we're together corporately in a church, the gates of hell itself will not overcome us, cannot stand against us. When a church is actually walking by faith, it is a church triumphant, and it is a church that is feared by all the dark forces. Christ never leaves an individual Christian, but it's the church that he promised the gates of hell will not prevail against. There is power in numbers. There is power within this church where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. Like I said, he's not forsaking the individual, but he's saying, you guys need to get together. I will be there with you, and this is the way it's going to go. You assemble together, and collectively you will be able to stand against the very gates, and King James says hell, against the very gates of hell itself. If we was to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it carries on with this thought. There's reasons for this to be that way. And one of them is chapter 2, verse 8 in Colossians. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. I talked about how different people in my family, who have since become Christian, by the way, and have given all that kind of stuff up, they have given that up because it says right there, Do not be taken captive through philosophy or empty deception. Philosophy and empty deception, but that word captive is the word kidnap in Greek. Don't let these ideas kidnap you and take you away from where you belong, which is in the presence of God and within a church. Do not let these empty deceptions and these philosophies, in that situation over there, you can get enough truth to keep you walking down the path, but you won't get the real truth and you can miss the blessings of God. So, don't get kidnapped by philosophies and empty deceptions, or according to the traditions of man, according to the elementary teachings of this world. And the traditions just means don't get caught up in the ways and the values of this world and what's going on. Don't get caught up in the news media and the spin they add to it. I was listening to news broadcast and they said, and it was referring to a Christian group that does medical work with women. And the guy said, this medical group is a self-identified clinic to benefit women. Now, it sounds all right. He didn't say anything untrue at that point because he said self-identified. And if you ask him, are you a women's clinic? They would say yes. But because he phrased it that way, it leaves a doubt like the government didn't approve of this. It's self-identified. They made this up and they're not for real. The word is in there. So he's saying, beware of their ways and their values because they're trying to trip you up. The news media spins it. Hollywood spins it. Even a lot of our popular music spins things. Did you know a lot of times the people who have tried to commit suicide, a lot of their counselors will say, especially here in this area, quit listening to country western music. It's depressing. You need to listen to something more positive. Let me give you a hint. Christian music is more positive. So he's saying, don't listen to the things that bring you down. Listen to the things that are more positive. And this is the church. This church is to be the source of the facts that we are to live by. The source of life. The source of our values, the source of our style, the way we live our life, and also the information that we have about the future. And if we get discouraged, we're to come to a church. We have a church because a church is the place that we can learn to be overcoming. Every person is important in this church. Not just one of us, but every person is important in this church. And it's not enough just to be here. Let me give you some reasons why you're not just supposed to be here to a church. 1 Peter says it this way. Chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's saying everybody's got something. When you made a profession of faith and you truly trusted God, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift. He gave you an ability. He gave you a way of expressing what He has done for you, a gift of grace that you and you alone have had. I was a while back talking to a minister, and he said, you know, this one lady who is very active in the church had a hard life, and was enumerating the different things that was going on in her life, had went on in her life, but her life is coming around and things are pretty positive for her, and it's getting better. And he said, she was there, she's a regular attender, she's just absorbing all this information about Jesus Christ and how to live the life and how to be an overcomer. And this lady shows up who's having all these problems and issues. And this lady doesn't come very often. She came in and she basically says to the whole congregation that was there, it wasn't a Sunday morning service, but to a smaller group, and said, I've got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. I need your help and your prayers. And they said, okay. And he said, as I was getting ready to leave, I saw the lady who had gone through those problems talking to the lady who was having those problems. And he said, you know, I had that urge. Maybe I should go over there and show them the way. And he said, nope. That lady has been through it and she can explain it to the other lady and they can work together. The first lady has a ministry and she's ministering to the other person. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Every person has a gift And if you're not here willing and ready to share that gift with the people around you, you're shortchanging other people who are trying to grasp and understand their Christianity. That is a responsibility to y'all, to every Christian. Now, the other part of it is I'm going to ask, what's your gift? And I'll tell you, if you come to me and say, hey, Doyle, what's my gift? I'm going to say, hey, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Seek and ye shall find. You ask God what your gift is. You seek out what your gift is, and He will show you. A friend of mine years ago kept saying, Doyle, I don't know what my gift is. Tell me what my gift is. What is it He has gifted me to do? And I'm, And one day, after a few years of saying this continually, she actually walked up and said, hey, I've got the answer. And I said, what is it? She said, helps. Did you know that there's a gift called helps? And I said, really? That's cool. And she said, yeah. It dawned on me because I was running around going, I can help you. I can help you too. I'll help you. Vacation Bible school? I'll help that too. Hey, what do you want? Clean the church? I'll help you clean the church. Help, 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 help. And she said, I've got the gift of helps. And I said, good for you. We need helpers. And God blesses the people who have the gift of helps. Now, if we may go on to another little bit more in depth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. Sure is quiet in here. Chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, I can't tell you what it is, but there's lots of them. The same Spirit. There is a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There is a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then it goes on and tells some ways that things are manifested for the common good. You notice it's for the common good. It's not just for you and you alone. It's not just a toy or a gift for you to play with. It's there for everybody. God gives every person here a gift for the benefit of everybody else that's here. So we need to know what our gifts are. But if you read that and pay attention, especially if you could read it in the Greek, you would see where it says, it's the Holy Spirit who gives the gift. The Holy Spirit gives you a gift when He moves in. It is Christ that selects your ministry. Because sometimes He gives more than one gift. He gave me the ability to teach and good looks. You're laughing at the teaching, right? Because everybody can see the good looks. But He can give us more than one, because sometimes you need two or three throughout your life. But He can give you an ability to do something. Teaching, helping, governance. There's a whole list of different things that people don't even think about. And He says, this is the area that I want you to employ your gift or gifts in for the benefit of everybody in your church. And then it says that the Father is the one that worketh. And that word worketh, or causes the effect of, is the same Greek word where we get the word energy. He gives you the power and the ability to use it in accordance with how great of a ministry you need. If you're not having a ministry, why do you need the power? But if you're ministering, He will keep giving you more and more power. And it's basically that idea in the parable of use it or lose it, kids. If you use it, He'll give you more. But if you don't use it, He'll take it away. So we need to find our gift. We need to find out what area we're supposed to be ministering in. And then we say, Father, give me the energy and the ability to do this, to keep pounding away. And this is one of the things when finally I understood some of the stuff I was supposed to do. He said, and it's in the Scriptures, be instant. It's in season and out of season. And that just means, Doyle, you've got to do this when you feel like it, and you've got to do it when you don't feel like it. And I said, really? And he said, really? And that's the way it is with all of us. We've got to do what He wants us to when we feel like it and when we don't. There is always an emphasis on all of us together. That's why He always says, love one another, be there for one another, hold each other up, pray for one another, and on and on and on, because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was walking on the earth, we know that if somebody walked up and touched Him, Things happened. Their life was changed. And when the body of the Church of Jesus Christ, and that's us, we are the body of Christ, when we get together and we're walking by faith, the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ dwells here with us. And as we walk by faith, people can come in here and their lives can be changed. Their lives can be changed because they come to a church that walks by faith and not by sight, and we can expect the presence of God, the presence of Jesus with us. And so they should be able to come here and experience the presence of Jesus, and the gifts should be manifested in the sense that we can each one reach out in various ways and help each other have a better life. Now there's people that's that way and they say, you know, I really don't like this idea. I don't like this idea of the church and the way you're saying it. I don't have a problem with it. God's the one that came up with the idea of the church, not me. If you don't like the idea of the church and how He works through the church and how He wants to work through a church, then take it up with Him, because He says in the last days, people will forsake the assembling of themselves together, and so much more as you see that day approaches. And as the day approaches, and it's approaching because we keep seeing more and more events that the Bible has told us about concerning what is supposed to happen in the future, as we see those things fulfilled, He says that's the sign that you're in the last days. And I'm hearing from more and more ministers all over, all denominations, people are just not interested anymore. As that day approaches, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Assemble yourselves together. Don't miss it, because if you walk away from the assembly, and it's not just Glenwood, there are other assemblies out there. If you walk away from that corporate body where people work together and minister to each other, then you're not going to be in a position of overcoming. You'll not be forsaken. You haven't lost your salvation. But you'll be saying, why is my life stalling out? We need to be here to encourage each other. This is a corporate thing. Now, as part of the corporate idea, when the body comes together, one of the things He says is to remember Him. And we do this by taking the Lord's Supper. So I'd like for each one of us, as we partake of the Lord's body, remember then, if they touched Him, their lives were changed, however He chose to intervene in their life. We should also be totally aware that we are honoring His death, burial, and His resurrection, and the fact that He's on the throne and He's up there interceding, asking God to have mercy and kindness upon each and every one of us. This is a way of saying, I remember that, and by faith I'm reaching out to you to touch you, continue to change my life, and show me a gift, show me a ministry, and empower me so that I can use it to change other people's life. Because more people change and come to Christ, hooray for them, more glory for Him, but America becomes a greater nation. So if the elders would come forward, please, we will start having communion.